Seth, we had several texters point out that there was another proponent of the Hitler mustache, and that was Charlie Chaplin back in the day.
That's right. Yeah. No, I did my research during the break. I had asked Sean, like, it seems weird that you didn't see all the Nazis having the Hitler mustache, because usually, like, people try to emulate their dictator or their king when it comes to stuff like
that. Style, yeah.
But apparently, that had been a popular mustache between World War I and World War II, and with a lot of World War I veterans, they had to start using that mustache because they wore gas masks. So Hitler fought in World War I. I mean, like, Hitler was a World War I hero, you know, in Germany.
Yeah.
But because, so they started wearing that mustache, and then I guess it was popular up until the World War, and Hitler was still wearing it. But it, I would still submit that the ratio of, like, number of people, percentage of the population that tried to have the same hairstyle or mustache with Hitler was probably the lowest in history.
Well, his hairstyle
lowest in history.
Hairstyle was terrible too. They were both.
That's what he should be remembered for.
That's, yeah.
I don't know. The hairstyle is kind of like, that's kind of the hairstyle of the day these
was
days.
It?
Yeah. That high fade, skin fade.
Yeah. I just remember it looked like he almost, not a comb over, he had hair, but he had, you know, kind of like,
It was a mess. Well, I mean, the vast quantities of speed that he was taking didn't help matters.
Fair.
Either.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. All right, you can text 713-572-4610. All right, we did the defensive tackles earlier. ESPN, kind enough to drop the edge rushers this morning. The top 10 edge rushers in the NFL, according, this is an annual ritual. This is an annual vote that they do among 70 voters. Okay, so there's the total number. 70, that's a pretty big sample. 70 voters, and the constituency is coaches, scouts, and executives around the NFL. And they vote on their top 10 at each position, and ESPN is dropping the final tabulations of the votes, one position per day, all the way up through July 17th. So they've done running backs. They did that Monday. Joe Mixon made the list on Monday. He's the ninth best running back, according to these voters. Nobody on the Texans made the defensive tackle list. We talked about that earlier this morning. Let's go with the edge rushers here, Seth. And you and I both predicted that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson would find their way onto the top 10 on list. You and I
just
both
as we predicted that the Astros would not play down to the level of their competition.
It's true. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So we're due.
It's been a week of many predictions.
We're due.
Did we do any better on this, Sean? Did we do any better on this one?
Let's check. All right. Let's count them up. We'll start at the top. Number one is Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns. He's the number one edge rusher in football.
Yeah, got no issues with that. And when they call it edge rusher, that's the position these days for those that haven't realized the transition.
Yeah.
So it's not just grading them on their pass rushing ability. It's how good are these guys in their position of edge rusher.
That's right. Yeah. Number two, T.J. Watt, who is in a bitter contract dispute with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
I might have ranked him a little bit lower than some of these other guys that are coming up. And it'll be interesting if he goes into a different scheme where Myles Garrett got a lot of guff for pointing out that, you know, Garrett has to do it on his own more than T.J. Watt does. The Steelers will blitz a lot and create more one-on-ones for T.J. Watt than Myles Garrett gets. So I actually agreed with Myles. I don't know if I would have said it if I were him.
Yeah.
But T.J. Watt definitely still a top five for
him. Yeah. Yep. T.J. Watt number two. His highest ranking was number one. His lowest ranking was three. So everybody had him. Everybody had him in their top three.
When he was, and he kind of slowed down in the second half of the season.
He did.
But I think that's when people are looking at the entire situation in Pittsburgh and saying, well, it was just a weird year in Pittsburgh.
Yep. Micah Parsons, number three on the list, Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. He too was highest ranking one, lowest ranking of six for Micah Parsons among the 70 voters who voted in this.
He's got the highest double team rate amongst the edge rushers on this list. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he commands the most attention of all these guys and still does a pretty damn good job of providing pressure.
Number four, Max Crosby, Las Vegas Raiders. Like Parsons, Seth, highest ranking one. So there's at least one voter out there that thinks Crosby is the best of all these, maybe more. Lowest ranking of six for Max Crosby, who briefly reset the market for non-quarterbacks.
Yep. And
until the Browns had to whore themselves out for Myles Garrett.
Browns had to, who Myles Garrett just wanted to win, remember?
He just wanted to win. Yeah. He just wants to be a Cleveland Brown, man.
He just wanted to win. And then the Browns would go on to create just a quagmire of a mess of a disaster at quarterback in the offseason in their efforts to go help him win him that
clearly win that Super Bowl, yeah.
Yes.
So Crosby at 4. I don't have a problem with any of these so far.
Okay, so this is where we get into if people start I get it if people start getting peeved about Will Anderson not being above any of these guys. Mm-hmm. I think there's very real reasons and that he's not ranked above these guys yet. But these next three guys, Will Anderson is very, very close to them.
Yeah.
Very close. So just a couple things have to come in order for him to surpass these guys.
Here they are. Number 5 on the list, Nick Bosa, San Francisco 49ers. Highest ranking he got was 3. There was at least one person that left him off their ballot entirely, unranked.
Bosa's an interesting one because it's funny. Bosa's one of those guys where in your mind you feel like he's injured all the time, but he actually hasn't missed that many games. But he feels like he's affected by injuries at times.
Yeah.
So he has, and recognizing that sacks don't tell the whole story, you know, in the last couple of years, he's had 10.5 sacks and 9 sacks. Mm-hmm. So his production isn't quite as great as what I think he's capable of.
Yeah. Number 6, yet another contract dispute going on right now. Trey Hendrickson, Cincinnati Bengals, like Bosa, highest ranking among the voters, 3. And there were voters that left him off the ballot entirely. He led the league in sacks last year.
Yeah, so Hendrickson's a classic guy where you can't quite figure out why he's so good, but he just produces.
He doesn't look like any of these other guys. Like, he's got a very, very regular guy body.
It's not a white guy thing.
No.
It's like he looks like a skinny defensive tackle.
And doesn't have any of the accoutrements like gloves or wristbands or anything. He's just got bare arms.
He's just a football player.
Yeah.
Which gives him a little bit of a Duke point guard feel to me. To where I hate him. I hate this white guy.
Right. Little floor slapper.
Yeah. I should love him, but I hate him.
I hate him.
I think that Will, when it comes to Max Crosby, Nick Bosa, and Trey Hendrickson, I think Will Anderson's upside in terms of explosiveness and potential for physical domination, both the run game, especially in the run game, as well as being a pass rusher. I think Will's very close to surpassing those guys. Bosa, it's a matter of, I mean, I like Bosa as a comp for Will in a lot of ways, but I think Will is more conscientious against the run than Bosa is. So that's where I'd say those three guys, Crosby, Bosa, and Hendrickson, Will is very, very close to them. The one big difference between Will and Hendrickson and Crosby is simply being on the field more.
Yeah.
Because those guys both, if I recall properly, had about 150 to 200 snaps more than Will Anderson had this year. So when it comes to just looking at the counting stats, part of it is just Will figuring out a way to keep his ankles healthy and be out there for 17 games.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, it'd be fun for these accolades and to pile up the counting stats that Will played the same number of snaps. If you got depth that you feel comfortable with putting it out there and it keeps Will fresher for later in the season and keeps him out of harm's way for 100 or 200 snaps, I'm totally cool with that. Number 7, we still haven't gotten to Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter yet. Number 7, these are the best edge rushers according to 70 executives, coaches, and scouts as tabulated by ESPN.com. Number 7 is Aiden Hutchinson, the Detroit Lions, who had his season cut short last year by a gruesome broken leg injury. He missed 12 games because of that injury last year.
Yeah, I can't argue with him being ahead of Will Anderson. I'm surprised that it feels like Aiden Hutchinson got knocked for his injuries by some of the voters, because some voters had him unranked. Where others said that he would have been defensive player of the year if he hadn't gotten injured. I think the biggest thing with Aiden Hutchinson was you could see him as soon as he got injured. The Lions had to change their complete style of play calling. Aaron Glenn had to call way more blitzes than he typically does because he has that much of an effect on an offense.
And they lost so many guys, you know, like that. Yeah. That Lions defense got racked with injuries. That they finished 15-2 is really somewhat remarkable.
His pass rush win rate, it was 35%. So don't worry if you don't know whether that's good or not. The next closest one in pass rush win rate was Danielle Hunter, who finished 9 percentage points below him at 26%.
Wow.
Yeah, he was playing that well before he got injured.
Yep. He hit 7.5 sacks through 5 games when he got hurt. So he's number 7 on the list. Here we go. Number 8, Will Anderson Jr., who was ranked as high as 6 by at least one voter, unranked. Once you start to get in the back end of the top 10, unranked is the lowest ranking for all these guys. He was honorable mention last year in this exercise. He finishes 8th. Here's what they're saying about him, Seth. An AFC executive said this. He's got a complete skill set, and he's only getting better. Only 2 years in the league, he'll keep improving. An NFL personnel evaluator said, what I like about him is he doesn't have a lot of glaring weaknesses. He can rush, set a hard edge, and play the run.
Yeah.
It's hard to find holes in his game. Yeah.
His willingness to play the run, especially when it comes to high output defensive ends, that's not always a given. That
right.
They're going to give a damn about the run, but then his physicality in the run game, that's why I think he probably gets the notch above Danielle Hunter. I bet most voters on this list probably think Danielle Hunter is a better pure pass rusher, but Will's the complete package. Like the one guy said, what I like about him is he doesn't have a lot of glaring weaknesses. He can rush, set a hard edge, and play the run. With Will, I am very comfortable with him being 8th on this list because I do think he's got to continue on the track he was on last year, and he is right at the heels of those guys in front of him. It's just a matter of staying healthy and continuing to work on the things he's worked on.
Number 9,
his jump from year 1 to year 2, there was a lot that he had to really refine. This year, he's got a few things that he just needs to continue to refine.
Yep. Number 9, right next to his teammate, Danielle Hunter, is number 9. Like Will Anderson, highest ranking of 6, lowest ranking unranked. And they say this, many will argue that Hunter is Houston's best pass rusher over Anderson, who has advantages in upside and age. And again, this exercise, the instructions for the voters in this was who is the best in 2025, not who's going to be the best for the next 2 or 3 years, or who would you rather have long term. It's who's the best this year. So they're right next to each other. They list a bunch of stats that, as Seth just pointed out, Danielle Hunter, 26% pass rush win rate, second only to Aiden Hutchinson, caused a bunch of incompletions, ranked 1st in pass rush wins, and had double-digit sacks again. Here's what they're saying about him. An AFC executive said this, that's why they call him Cyborg. He's always been an incredible athlete, and he's learned to expand his pass rush ability and can win in a variety of ways. Another executive says this, he can get a few more double-digit sack seasons. He has the body type that will age well. End quote.
Yeah, I like that they brought up the Cyborg, the nickname, because it reminded me that, wait a second, Will Anderson was called the Terminator in college.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard that as much. I feel like he's played well enough that he can be called the Terminator in the NFL.
Mark calls him that sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Vandy calls him that sometimes.
But it's not as widespread as I'd like it to be.
And it hasn't, I don't know if there's any Terminator merch or anything like that. That's where you know it catches on.
So I like that there's a Cyborg on one side and a Terminator on the other.
Feel good about that. Yeah. Yeah.
That either of those could be good or evil.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of like, wait, Cyborg in a good way or a bad way?
Right,
Terminator
right.
Which movie, Terminator? The nice Arnold Schwarzenegger or the skinnier guy?
That's
right. Super scary.
Yeah. The old saying, as long as the Cyborg and Terminator on your team, you know, they're your favorite play. It's like Dylan Brooks, you know, as long as he's on my team, he's my Cyborg and my Terminator. I love him.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
As opposed to like C-3PO who sucks in
the worst. God.
The one thing I liked that they pointed out was that he's found ways to beat offensive tackles with a bull rush or an NBA style Euro step
into a spin. I love his Euro step. Yes.
This is a thing. Honestly, Sean, I was watching Danielle Hunter film and I was watching an arm drag that he does. And it's just funny because these guys have gotten so advanced, and I'll credit YouTube for a lot of this. Guys are just able to watch all the great pass rushers. And I'm not saying that Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson are doing that necessarily, but there's this culture amongst pass rushers now that just flat out did not exist back when I was playing.
Yeah.
But I can remember as a, you know, I was a high school wrestler and everything, And I always remember wondering, like, why don't they teach an arm drag? So an arm drag is exactly what it sounds like. Yeah. You just come in. I use my right hand to grab the right arm of the offensive lineman and pull him through.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I'd had the gonads to just do it, but it wasn't a coached move.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I would always just kind of think, like, I really should be. Of course, back in the day, though, too, we got away with guys. Guys were putting, you know, Vaseline on their arms and silicone yeah. on their shoulder pads, so it was harder to hit an arm drag.
Yeah.
They check for that now. But yeah, like the Euro step, the arm drag, the ghost move, there's a whole arsenal of moves that guys use nowadays that really were not even in existence back in the
yeah,
day. It's a
yeah.
glorious time to be alive.
It is. It's fun to be alive, especially when you got a guy on your team that's doing all of them, like Danielle yeah. Hunter. Number 10 on this list is Jared Verse, who the Texans will face in week one of the NFL season this year. So we talked about Kobe Turner on the defensive tackle list yeah. and Jared Verse on this edge rusher list.
So Jared Verse, who the Texans will see in week one. I did a little bit of a mini study on Jared Verse the other day, and it was after Tron Armstead had said, Tron Armstead was on a podcast, I think it was Busting the Boys, the offensive tackle, and I think he was listing reasons he wouldn't come back, and he said, Jared Verse,
yeah.
I don't need to see that bull rush ever again.
Yeah.
And I was intrigued, because I'd watched Jared Verse, and I knew that he's really strong and physical, and I'd seen a little bit of him this year. But usually when you hear about a young player who's got a really good bull rush, you're like, all right, yeah, like go ahead and try doing that for 60 snaps a game.
You're right.
Dude, I see exactly where Teron Armstead was coming from. He is so strong.
He is
country strong.
Yep.
There was a player back in the day who had a vicious jumpy gathers. He had a move called a forklift, which is it's a move.
Yeah.
But no, it's different than what they call the forklift these days. Because he would just like put his arms out like he was doing a front shoulder raise,
yeah.
which, you know, you can't use a lot of weight with a front shoulder raise. And he would just lift guys up in the air and drive them back into the quarterback. Like, so there's still a forklift move, but it's not like the way jumpy gathers used to do it. He was so freakishly strong that he was doing things that nobody could do. I think Jared Verse, his whole game could be his bull rush and a few variations off of it. And I don't know what people are going to do about it.
Why do you only have 4.5 sacks last year?
Probably because he's bull rushing and said he needs to, he's a little bit, okay, a little bit like Will Anderson. Will Anderson leaned on his bull rush too much.
Yeah.
And he learned his rookie year
yeah.
that, all right, I gotta come with some variations off of that. And I think part of that is that, like, it's great to bull rush a dude into the quarterback. But quarterbacks these days are pretty nimble at getting out of that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So the separation at the top of the rush, that's like where Will was working on exactly that. But versus just, he's more country strong than Will Anderson is. But like, it's right there. He's a lot like Will Anderson was his rookie year. Like, man, you see the potential there. The one thing about Jared Verse, and I'm going to be intrigued to see how Nick Caley treats him when the Texans play him. Jared Verse was like completely lost at times when it came to pulling guards and wham blocks and some of those things. But again, he's completely unaware.
Yeah.
Doesn't realize that the running back's about to cut him or the fullback's about to cut him. And the fullback tries to cut him and the fullback bounces off.
Yeah. And
of
he's still, yeah, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
yeah it doesn't
he's
matter.
He's still making plays.
It
yeah.
It doesn't matter. All right. Coming up next is Tom Brady pulling a reverse Derek Jeter. I will explain coming up next. Stay there.